This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, why skiers shoosh right past warning signs and into the paths of avalanches. First, though, thoughts on very cold places that are not so cold as they used to be. Writer Gretel Ehrlich's new book, The Future of Ice, recounts a decade of observation and interpretation in places most of us try to avoid, frozen places of snow and ice and stoic peoples who nonetheless survive there. They've learned to endure the cold, indeed to thrive in it, but now many scientists see increasing evidence of human-caused global warming, and Gretel Ehrlich reports that those who live in the lands of ice see it beginning to thaw. We spoke earlier, Gretel, at a studio near her home north of Santa Barbara, California. Tell me about your fascination with ice, with cold weather and ice. What is it that appeals to you, a woman who is so wise as to live in Southern California for much of the year?
Well, you know, I lived for a long time on a really isolated mountain ranch in northern Wyoming, and it was forced on me. Winter was forced on me, and as soon as I figured out how to dress properly for it, I discovered a wonderful world, a world that was spare, quiet. So every day was a kind of, was skiing through nature's poem to me, and I hoped that if I ingested it properly, I could write poems back to winter days.
This is not just time you spend in isolation, though. You've spent a lot of time in Greenland in the winters. You go to Greenland in the winter and stay with these coastal people who live traditional lives that are intimately bound up with ice.
Yeah, that's right. I started going to Greenland in 1993, and I ended up traveling with subsistence Inuit hunters on dog sleds. They're the last hunters in the world who travel only by dog sleds. We wear skins. They really live on the ice. They hunt marine mammals. It was just extraordinary. First of all, the beauty of seasonal ice, of calving glaciers and of the big Greenland mountains with the ice cap dripping off the edges is extraordinarily beautiful. And it's beautiful to them. They just thrive there. And I got to experience all the extremes of weather. We were traveling outside and fighting frostbite. And yet it was just extraordinary, just their ability to live in that kind of weather, and their sense of its power informs everything they do.
59 degrees below zero, Gretel, would be, I think, beyond the experience of almost anyone in this country. I cannot imagine what that feels like.
It's a little nippy.
A little nippy?
Well, when you're on a dog sled, you're going about 4 miles an hour. And, I mean, we're wearing three sets of polar bear mittens. But still, the leading edges of your hand, your face, your foot gets frostbite first. It's not if it gets frostbite. It does. It's just which part gets frostbitten first. You're just sort of always managing that. You are very alert. You don't make mistakes. You don't drop a mitten. You don't fall off the dog sled. You know that you're kind of in survival mode.
There is so much debate about global warming now, about transforming our world and whether or not we have a role in that. And I wondered, you've been with these people in Greenland. How do they view the transformation of their world? Is their world changing?
Absolutely. It's devastating. When I first began going there in 1993, the seasonal sea ice was 2 to 3 to 4 feet thick, always, all the way into mid, late May. I was there last March. It was between the 5 weeks I was there, it was between minus 25 and 59 below zero Fahrenheit. The sea ice was 5 inches thick. Every time there's a storm, the sea ice breaks up because it's so brittle and so fragile. The entire Arctic ecosystem, including this fantastic Inuit culture, is going out of existence as we speak. Well, I would say they're quite suicidal about it. It's such a tiny ecosystem that once one thing shifts, the whole thing collapses very quickly.
But with this debate going on, what do you say to people who say, well, these are things that happen, you know, from their cycles over the centuries, and one can look back and say that the Earth has been warmer, the Earth has been colder, and this is the way things are?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, there's huge climate fluctuations. But we now, because of the ice core drilling projects in Greenland and Antarctica, we have 420,000 years of climate history at our fingertips. So climate has been charted quite intimately. And since the Industrial Revolution, but especially in the last 10 years, the signal mapped by the climatologists and their computer models of actual warming is unprecedented. I mean, it is a spike that just goes straight up. It is not fluctuating. And that's why they can tell that it's human-caused and not natural-caused. Because natural fluctuation, it just goes up and down and up and down. And they've taken all these years of climate history and plotted it against the influence of greenhouse gases and industrial pollutions, and there just seems to be no doubt in their minds that we are driving weather in a certain way, and there's no doubt about it.
So, Gretel Ehrlich, you write a book of observations and essays about the cold, your fascination with the cold, and you call it The Future of Ice. What do you think is the future of ice?
I hate to say this, but today it seems a bit grim, but a lot of things can happen in weather as a result of warming. I mean, I think the main thing to understand is that all the climatologists I talked to said, we know there's abrupt climate changes happening. We just don't know what the outcome is going to be. But they all say, we just better learn to adapt. Anything could happen. So, you know, I say, keep your polar bear pants on in the Arctic and take your bikini along.
Gretel Ehrlich, her latest book is The Future of Ice, A Journey into Cold. Gretel, thank you for joining us on Day to Day.
Thank you, Alex. Great to talk to you again.